That's hooey and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, la, and la. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Ah, it's gangbusters.
Damn, a shake in NFL. In NFL and Dave. Damn, a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek. What's going down? Welcome to episode number 32 of the Dave Damashek football program. Hope all's well wherever you are. As always, chock full of storylines going into week 9 here. Let's say hello to the man who's always sitting to my right here in the studio. Where we're still waiting, by the way, for the, I forget what it's called, the new podcast center. The nerve center of all NFL-related podcasts will soon be moving upstairs. In the meantime, let's say hello to my main man here, the author of the great Pick 6 segments that you can read on NFL.com. But before I say hello, we have a little treat for you, Rank, and for the listener. It's a little theme music courtesy of our one-man house band, Dick Banks. Hit it! How say you, Rank? How do you feel?
I don't care for fries, actually.
That's your response. I know. I know
you. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, you prefer your potatoes mashed. Is that true?
Not a chance.
Best.
But you know what, though, I do got to say, Dick Banks does great work. I'm very honored. I liked Quiet Riot, and that was actually a conversation we had on Twitter. On Talk About It Friday, if you follow me, at Adam Rank.
I don't.
That's fair. But every week we do, every Friday we do a Talk About It Friday, and that was one of the subjects we had was the preeminent Quiet Riot song. Is it Come On, Feel the Noise, or is it Mental Health? The correct answer, of course, being Mental Health. Bang your head.
Well, I won't get into the to a debate with you about Quiet Riot. That's not my my wheelhouse. I'm okay. Pleased to say.
Wow.
But you like the song overall?
That
we can stick with
great.
That one?
Yes, that's awesome.
Excellent, excellent. You know, that reminds me, we need a new theme song for the podcast. I've tired of that one. I love,
you've tired of it.
You know, I love the NFL Films music. I want to drive around in my car to it to help boost my morale as I go from place to place. But that particular one, it's run its course in my book. So Perhaps we can select a new one. All right,
fair
listen.
Enough.
Like I say, we have a lot to kibitz about here, Rank. But first, let's say hello to someone who we deal with on Fantasy Football Live. What do we call the show? What's it called again? Football Live?
Yes.
NFL Fantasy?
NFL Fantasy Live?
It's kibitz time, talking about it.
Talk about it.
From NFL Fantasy Live, I used to yap with him over at ESPN. He was, of course, the host of a radio program over there. Now the host of NFL Fantasy Live. It's Jason Smith. What's going down, fella?
You say deal with me. Like, you know,
I know
you
wrong.
Say it like some of my work, or one of my buddies, someone we deal with.
Someone
every day.
Someone with whom we're forced to slog through every day.
Like, I come in with demands every day, and I won't do this until Damashek changes. We deal with him.
I was hoping you would catch that, because I was about to pounce on that. I'm like, deal with it. What a terrible... He's done that to me on the... But you know what? You've done that to me on Fantasy Live, where you're like, doing the make me smarter, and he throws it to me like, well, Rank's going to try to make you smarter. Probably won't, but he's going to try.
One time I said to make you smarter. One time, and suddenly now I'm tagged with that. Now that's my thing for the rest of my life.
Well, Jason Smith, we like to talk about it here. You know, in most media circles, it's frowned upon to wear your fandom on your sleeve. You know, most of the time it should be a mystery to the listener or to the viewer. I say fat and double fat to that. Of course, we like to wear it. What else? What is our source of credibility otherwise? We didn't play. Well, I played 4 seasons in the NFL, but I mean, you guys didn't. And, you know, what is our source of credibility, if not that we've been watching football with great devotion and obsession for, you know, 30 or 40 years, right? So tell us, your team. Of course, I know what it is, but what's your team?
Yeah, well, anybody who listened to me on the radio for 5 minutes knew I was a Jets fan because I can't go 5 minutes without talking about the Jets. I mean, we even bring it on the show a little bit. Michael Fabiano makes fun of me now for the Jets, but
he's a Cowboys fan. How is he making fun of you?
Well, Cowboys have a little bit better history than the Jets do. The Jets are living off of one game, and that was in 1969. So we have a lot to get back to. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that should be. I want to know, you know, who people like and who they're a fan of and who they go. I come in every day. Every time I see Rams news, I think of Rank and I go, oh, he's not going to like this. Oh, he's not going to like this. There has the Steelers. I think about you and go, right now, Damashek is saying, I can't believe they're running Isaac Redman out of this formation. I'm thinking all those things when I see these guys play.
There hasn't been Rams news in like 10 years.
Well, listen, Jack Youngblood joined us on this very program 1 week ago, and I think that was pretty scandalous news that he broke, that the current ownership over in St. Louis doesn't acknowledge, they don't embrace the history, the proud history of the Rams. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But you mentioned the Steelers, and I definitely obviously want to get into that big game that was played in Week 8 and then the one coming up in Week 9. But let's yap about your Jets, first of all. A big one coming off the bye against the Bills. And I say, it sounds like hyperbole, but nothing less than the season hangs in the balance here. This is not a great spot rolling into a Buffalo team, one of the great stories of the first half of the season. How say you, though, in this game? Do they show up for this one and shut down Team Fitzpatrick?
I can't tell you how many times in a season I say, this game is the Jets' season. I mean, I must say it 9 or 10 times. This is their season. They got to win opening week. They got to win this week. They got to win this week. This is a big week because you can't afford to fall too far behind the Bills and the Patriots in the AFC East. Patriots had a tough one last week, but you know they're going to keep winning games. Now you're talking about the wild card, and you got to keep everybody close. And suddenly now it's a huge lead if you go into Buffalo and lose this game. I never like Sanchez coming off a bye because the Jets get all mad scientist and it's go back and it's proven every time the Jets come off a long layoff, Sanchez plays poorly. Hopefully they figured that out by now. They're going to try to ground and pound. I don't know that they can do it, but they're going to try to ground and pound. This game has 17-14 nail biter in the swirling winds in Buffalo written all over it, but I think the Jets defense comes through. I think they slow down Ryan Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick is not the same guy that he was the first couple of weeks. Teams are starting to figure him out a little bit. His stats are going down. You're not going to be able to stop Fred Jackson. I mean, Fred Jackson is terrific, and the Jets run defense can't stop anybody, but if you're going to put this game on Fitzpatrick's shoulders, the Jets are going to get turnovers, and they'll win this game that way. This is where the defense comes, and they win a close game.
I agree with you, actually, and we'll get into the DeLorean and take it up to 88 miles an hour and jump to next Tuesday and see how it works itself out one way or the other. But I happen to agree with you. I think you're in the right range on the score. I have a sense that the Jets are going to go in there and steal one. Rank, how say you?
Yes. What do you think about the Bills going with the white jerseys at home, though?
Is that the story?
Yeah,
I've not heard.
White jersey at home.
Well. To what is that owed?
I have no idea.
I wonder if they're going to go with the blue pants. I like those.
It's the first time since 1986 that they're going to have white jerseys at home, and I don't know why.
It's a big game. They're going all in, changing the jersey.
I like, you know, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I know that you're a fan of the Jets with the white hats and that classic look, the Namath era uni. But now I suddenly find myself ironically pining for just once a season, at least. Now, I don't want to see it full time, but just once a season. Wouldn't it be nice? Because that's when you grew up, Jason Smith, was watching the Freeman McNeil era Jets with those green hats. Those were pretty nice.
And the J was the part of the Jet, you know?
Yeah.
I love that logo, but for me, it just stems, I think, of 15 years of losing. When I think
that's
of that
right.
logo. I mean,
yeah.
I love it, but I want to see it because that's where I grew up. I mean, look, you know, for better or for worse, that was my era. That's where I grew up. It was Richard Todd and Freeman McNeil, and then it was Ken O'Brien. It was losing in the 86 divisional playoff game to the Browns, and then it was to the AFC championship game to the Dolphins in 82 when Don Shula.
A.J. Dewey.
When Don Shula is supposed, you know, and that's the thing. You know, ready? You know, this is something I will, to my dying day, I'll be in a hospital hopefully when I'm 98 years old. Someone will say, what do you want to know? What do you want people to know? I said, I want people to know that in the 81 AFC championship game, there was a monsoon in Miami all week long, and the Jets had this high-powered offense that was, you know, scored a lot of points. You know, Wesley Walker, and they were great. And Don Shula didn't cover the field. Rules say in the NFL you must cover a field during inclement weather. They left it open all week long because they knew that's going to help us. And so the Jets couldn't go anywhere. We lost 14-0 because that was a Super Bowl for us. 86, when we started out big, we probably would have lost that Super Bowl. But 81, that was our Super Bowl. I would have seen a Super Bowl champion when I was 10 years old because of that. And we lost 14-0.
So your claim is not only that they would have advanced to the Super Bowl, but they would have taken care of Riggo and company.
Oh,
they would
sure.
have beaten that Redskins team.
Oh, sure. We were a better team. We were a better team that year. That was our year.
That was the strike year, right? It was the 80.
Yeah, yep. It was a short season. Yeah,
82 strike year.
Yep. Redskins came off of the previous season. They won their last five games, so you knew that they had a shot at being good, and they came out of the gate on fire, and they played well. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing because on this week's Shame Report, which, by the way, thanks to everybody who checked it out, great number of people looking at that, and I appreciate it.
We are happy with our numbers. Our numbers.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you had anything to do with the Shame Report, but if you're just providing moral support, then yes, there's no I in team. A group.
Yes. Well, I mean, I wrote some of the gags, so I feel like I...
What
I
gags? I didn't realize I wrote gags in the Shame Report.
I just know that on Monday night, I tweeted out a reference to Kim Kardashian's wedding and Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday, it was in the Shame Report. And I said, oh, that's nice.
Wait a second. Nice so wait, because you made a Kim Kardashian joke?
Yeah.
So you have providence over all Kardashian jokes?
But the exact one that I wrote that's on the Shame Report,
joke was that Tim Tebow's windup takes longer than a Kim Kardashian marriage. That was my joke.
Exactly.
Was your joke?
Yes.
Well, for the record, the Shame Report. Oh, I guess I didn't do it till Tuesday morning, but
boom.
I can assure you, it was fully written by Monday midday.
Of course, it was about the time that I was sending out that tweet.
I appreciate your help.
When Rank says, all my gags that got in, I'm just picturing doing stand up. You know, the brick wall behind him saying, "You know who I'd go to the Boys and Girls Club with? Peyton Hillis." I'm picturing all this NFL comedy.
Right. I pine for the day. He refuses to do it for some reason. I want him to do a set here on the podcast. I want him to do his tightest 10 minutes that he's got for the audience. Wouldn't that be terrific? I'd love to check that out.
It's not that I work blue, but I don't think...
I'll bring in the clown's mouth to show when you're running out of time.
Well, my props don't come over on a podcast.
Yeah. Well, so Jason Smith, what I was going to say was on the Shame Report I brought up, I was mentioning that I was really upset that the Giants ground crew before Sunday's game saw fit to sweep away all the snow, the glorious snow. It was a gift from the football gods descending from the heavens, and they wiped it all off the field. Think about how many great weather games. Well, I guess that's not a great one for you to remember that slop
the
fest.
The mud bowl? No.
But you sound a little Al Davis-y, I will say, when you accuse that, because before the 75 AFC title game, Al Davis accused the Steelers of icing the field down on the sidelines and not covering it. He did. He has a great quote about, like, they kept the sidelines icy because they had the speedy wideouts there. And he said, if there was one man in the National Football League that Mel Blunt feared, it was Clifford Branch. Clifford Branch.
I'm just picturing guys running off the field. All right, come on out. Guys just slipping and falling as they got to the side.
I know.
What do you mean, like, accused? Like, it actually happened?
What do you mean it actually happened?
Like, what the Steelers did ice the field.
Can
like
I tell you something on that subject? I say I don't care about competitive equality. Home court is home court, and you should – I hail the Boston Celtics for what they did for decades with the dead spots on the floor that only they knew about. I love the Green Monster, that if you aren't a left fielder in Fenway 81 times a year, you're at a disadvantage. You don't know how the ball's going to care. I'm all for that. I say I'm happy – in a way, I'm going to be interested at least to see how that Super Bowl in New York City plays out if it's snowy. Because as somebody, and you know, you're not ranked, but Jason and I are from cold weather towns. I've always wondered why. Says who that the Southern team has to get the advantage or the dome
it's
team?
It's not
deserves
an
it.
Advantage.
It is an
it's,
advantage.
It's if equal.
You, it's not equal.
No, it's equal.
It is not
it's ridiculous.
Equal.
No, it's stupid to have an open.
It's
air
not
Super
equal.
Bowl.
Why?
It's dumb.
If you play the whole season in a dome, you are going to construct your team just like the San Diego Padres are pitching rich. Well, they're not now, but that's a bad example. But
terrible example.
The Dodgers have been historically pitching rich because Dodger Stadium is a pitcher's park.
Used to be.
Well, all right, but you follow my point. So same way, I think these northern teams should take advantage of that. And if Don Shula wanted to slop his field up to slow down your Jetropolitans, So be it, I say.
You know, you would put like razor blades on the sideline and bourbon in the Gatorade if it got you an advantage. Oh, look at these guys. They're slipping and falling all over the field.
I put the bourbon in my Gatorade.
We gave them the brown bottle.
Oh, it's a new flavor. You'll love it. It's great. Yeah, we just came out. It's a prototype. Yeah, supposed to do real great things for you.
And by the way, quickly, I wanted to make mention of the fact I was remiss. So you're also, along with your duties on NFL Fantasy Live 6 days a week on the network and on the .com, you're also with Michael Fabiano doing, and you're also writing actually on the .com, but you're also doing a fantasy podcast once a week, and you're doing the Sirius XM show.
Yeah, we've been doing that for the last with Elliot Harrison. We get going.
EH, yes.
And I can't tell you how many times we plan on doing something for a segment. We're going to come in and we're going to talk about the best starts at quarterback this week and the best sits at running back. And then they'll come back from break with like a White Lion song. And then we're off the rails for like 3 minutes. And Harrison's talking about White Lion versus White Snake. And I'm saying, look, Rudy Sarzo was the guy between Quiet Riot. Then he went to White Snake. And it's like 3 minutes. And I'm saying, what just happened? Just because we played a White Lion song coming in, and then it was like 3 minutes, it's gone, because we're all hair metal guys. You know, me being bald, you believe I was a hair metal guy, but that was
ironic,
my era.
Yeah.
Same thing with Harrison, same thing with Fabiano. Harrison actually likes to play the air guitar and give you that look like I'm awesome. You know, he's, hey, look, I'm playing the air guitar. And it's a little unsettling to have Elliot look at you.
Well, like, no, we saw his costume on Fantasy Live last week. So wait, you answer the question though. The preeminent Quiet Riot song, is it Come On, Feel the Noise or Metal Health?
Up until The Wrestler, I would say Come On, Feel the Noise, but Metal Health was at a whole new level after The Wrestler, because that was it. Did you see The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Yes, of course.
Because that was his theme song.
Right.
And you realize how awesome that song is and, you know, how much it was used. And I found myself, you know, downloading it again and listening to it and listening to Metal Health again. So, yeah, I'm going with Bang Your Head.
Bang Your Head. It was an anthem to the hair metal era of the 80s.
Whole lot of you are nerds.
That was like the first group.
NFL Fantasy Live is lousy with the hair band aficionados. I'm the only one with any musical taste out there.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Well, Money Smith, too. He's another one.
Were you listening to The Cure?
Oh, I'm not Cure. I go more REM. I got a little Smithereens.
Oh, okay. All right. One doesn't beget the other. You can listen to the wide variety of music. You're not beholden to only hair metal.
Well, like, you've also declared that Lynyrd Skynyrd is better than the Allman Brothers.
And who won that poll? Everybody voted for that. Everybody voted Lynyrd Skynyrd. Jack Youngblood said Lynyrd Skynyrd was better than the Allman Brothers Band, but it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy other forms of music, because as a matter of fact, on my Pandora radio station, you can add in different bands. Like, you can add in a band to Seed. So I actually threw in Sublime on my Lynyrd Skynyrd channel. It's changed my life.
Wow.
It's all good.
Yeah. All right.
See, I picture you as, you know, Rank and I in high school. You know, we're listening to Poison and Guns N' Roses and LA Guns and all these groups. And I picture you, you're very calculated. Okay, I'm going to pick up this girl. What can I play that's going to make me look deep and mysterious? Oh, here comes REM. And it's one of the deep tracks. You know, I'm going to go like cut eight here. It's like, oh, Dave, you like. Yeah, this is my music.
A little something from Fables of the Reconstruction. Yeah, a little unlistened, are you?
Dave was the brooding guy like John Bender from The Breakfast Club, just sitting in the back.
Let me just tell you something. You couldn't be more inaccurate, Jason Smith, because your opening premise was, I'm trying to impress a girl. It's not an exaggeration. I did not say, at the end of my senior year, I counted up all the words that I said to girls that were not my mother and sisters, and it totaled eight. I did not talk to girls until I got to college. So I was not. I was as square could get. I was listening to, I think, NFL Films music. Basically, was my
and playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that's right. Dungeons and Dragons on Intellivision was secretly maybe the best game they ever had there.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Intellivision football, underrated too. I like that one.
The baseball was awesome because when you slid it had the ten card thing that you would punch the position.
You know, what was another great one on Intellivision. Dungeons and Dragons. Snafu was really good. It had a little Tron kind of thing to it, where you would try to block off the line that was formed.
I'm getting lost. Snafu. Yeah, no. Snafu's awesome.
But maybe the best one of them all: skiing. Downhill skiing. You ever do that one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Skiing was good on the television?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think they ever topped that. All right, listen, we're way off track here, and I want to talk about these big games that are coming up here. But let's take care of business as we do on every episode here. We name the player who wore the number best. We're on episode 32 today, and I think this is an auspicious day to join us, Jason Smith, because 32, you can make a case, is the greatest number in sports history. The more, I mean, more legends have worn 32, maybe, than any other number out there. To wit, we have Jim Brown.
Oh, do you want to do this? Because it's going to get embarrassing.
Well, by the way, 31, we did a horrendous
horrible
job.
Antonio Cromartie.
There you go. Antonio Cromartie, but we also forgot Priest Holmes. We forgot Mike Piazza, Reggie Miller.
Cedric Ceballos at Cal State Fullerton.
Yes, of course. Well, that's the one I was leading up to. But anyway,
Wilbert Montgomery, 31, too?
31. We got Montgomery.
Yeah, we got Montgomery.
Jim Taylor, we didn't mention. So, yeah, we really did a lousy job. Let's make up for it right now. 32, you have Jim Brown, arguably the greatest rusher of all time. If it wasn't him, then it was certainly Franco Harris.
Yeah, all right.
Is that part of your stand-up? Rank is writing that down. I'm going to use this.
I'm going to use that on stage.
Hey, Franco finished ahead of Jim Brown. That's right, he did.
Yeah, fair enough.
Has more all-time more career rushing yards than Jim Brown.
He does.
No, but you know
what? He was just as dominant.
But you know what? I will give you this, though. He did beat – did you ever see the I Challenge You?
Yes.
The Jim Brown versus Franco Harris?
Yes.
When Jim Brown pulled up with the hamstring in the final race when
I'm
he was
so
racing
glad
against
you brought
Franco
that
Harris.
I didn't want to go down another road of of obscurity after talking about in television snafu. But all right, now that you brought it up, kids, go on YouTube, look this thing up. It's got to be on there. In 84, was it 83, 84?
So, yeah.
It was Super Bowl Sunday, or maybe it was like the Saturday. But Jim Brown had heard enough about Franco at that point, so he challenged him. Jim Brown at that point is 50, 51, something like that.
So, yeah.
And he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated that he could come back and still play, and he was in a Raiders uniform. And they had a competition. They had a series of, it was like a mini decathlon, one-on-one, and then the signature moment was the 40, when they ran the 40 against each other, and Jimmy Brown came up lame with the hammy.
He was getting killed. Yeah. Franco Harris was dusting him, and Jim Brown, like, three-quarters of the way through the race, goes, my hamstring, and Franco Harris won.
So, either way, I mean, I say Franco's better than Jim. No, I don't actually think that. All right, so Jim Brown.
He's not even in the, well, I guess he's
and then top. So, but maybe a lot of people say best football player of all time, Jim Brown.
Okay.
Then you got Sandy Koufax. A lot of people say the best pitcher of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, you know, one of the great NBA players of all time, Karl Malone.
Oh, so, shut your mouth.
What?
You
Karl
know,
Malone was
32.
Terrific. The mailman.
He was fine. But when he came to the Lakers, he showed respect and he switched to number 11.
Are you going to make your? Are we going to get into your cockamamie argument that Magic Johnson?
Magic Johnson was the best player in NBA history.
Well, that's
nobody argues this.
That's quite ridiculous.
Everybody agrees. Who is better than Magic? It's a fact.
Michael Jordan was better than.
Not a chance. Oh, I
there's
love,
not a chance.
Love,
wait, so wait a second. Wait, wait.
You, no,
let
no,
me
no,
just make
I
sure. There's not a chance that Michael Jordan was better than Magic Johnson.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
I like this. What? How long did you live in Chicago that you came up with this cockamamie? Oh, Michael Jordan's the greatest.
Have to do with anything?
Okay, you lived in Chicago, and for some reason you feel that this is a fact. That's probably the only place in America you could walk where people even would mention Michael Jordan in the same breath as Magic Johnson.
That's true. Yeah, that is the only place you would ever hear such hooey and applesauce.
Thank
Jason
you.
Smith, break this ridiculous tie.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go 32 is a soft spot in my heart for Sandy Koufax. I think I did 12 or 15 book reports on the baseball life of Sandy Koufax when I was a kid. I know more about this guy than just about anything. But I got to say, you know, greatest 32 – Jim Brown, he was the greatest running back ever.
Are we going to settle this right now, the greatest 32? And we didn't mention OJ?
I'm going Jim Brown over OJ.
Shaq wore 32 at one point, too, as well.
And
right?
then he wore 34. Then he changed to 34 for the Lakers.
Because he had the respect, too, because he knew where his bread, you know, where he was in that ranking
and
system.
Well, if we're naming them all, we got to name Dave Hannon, the great Pittsburgh Penguin of the 80s. Remember him? Disco Davey Hannon?
Dave Hannon? Didn't he score a goal like in quadruple overtime to beat the Devils like in the playoffs in the mid-90s?
No, you're thinking of, I think it was Scott Hannon maybe for the Sabres. No, you know what? Davey Hannon did score a big goal
Dave
for
Hannon?
The Sabres.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's right. Yeah, you're a
so
puck
then it's
guy.
Dave Hannon. That's the answer. So then Dave Hannon for that goal alone.
Well, what about, first of all, settle the debate about Magic versus Michael Jordan.
Ooh, boy, I'll tell you what. I, I remember obviously more about Michael because I was younger with Magic Johnson, but I mean, Magic Johnson just changed the way the game was played. I mean, being 6'9 point guard, doing what he did, the fact that he went to center for a game when Kareem got hurt and scored, what was it, 38 points and 15 rebounds. I mean,
42?
Yeah, 42. Nobody could do that. Nobody could do something like that. So I'm going Magic over Michael.
You're saying Magic Johnson? Is that what kind of surreal, what bizarro world am I entered into here?
He's a better player, that's all.
Listen,
that's the thing. No, that's...
I don't want to spend the next 20 minutes on this subject. But let me just say something,
because you're in a losing argument. Yes,
I understand. I understand that the Lakers were playing in an era. I know that they're close. That they're side by side. That the era of the Lakers and Celtics battling it out with a Pistons team that was on the rise. There were some halfway decent Western Conference teams, but no one was really great. The Rockets were okay. But the idea... Bucks. No, listen. And in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics had to go through the Bucks and the Pistons and Dominique's Hawks and teams like that. The Lakers had a pretty easy run year in and year out to the finals. That's right.
They were so good. That's not...
Well, but right, and
but
as far
they
as
still
that,
beat the Celtics. What's your
and
point?
And as far as that, well, you could make a case. I know a lot of Boston fans would tell you that the Celtics had less gas in the tank by the time they got to the finals, whereas the Lakers were nice and fresh, sweeping out the likes of high scoring but not particularly
Golden
playoff
State.
Ready. Yeah, like Golden State and Denver and teams like that. Now, what I'm saying to you is this: whereas Michael Jordan, I mean, in the era he was playing, there weren't as many good teams. But look around him. Scottie Pippen, dandy, yes. But after that...
One of the top 50 players in NBA history.
And then let's look at who Magic Johnson went out on the floor with. Kareem. James Worthy.
Big game James.
Byron Scott.
Oh, I forgot. Kurt Rambis. Yes, he would have been a superstar in any other team.
Michael Thompson
would have, yeah. He was, no, don't act like he was good on the Lakers, but he wasn't like he's a superstar.
All right. Well, listen.
The Bulls had Rodman, too.
Magic Johnson is not better than Michael Jordan.
He is. You've been outruled, then it's fine. And that whole nonsense, I'm glad this is the first time I've ever heard somebody actually breathe the words that, like, oh, the Celtics had such tough competition. That's the dumbest thing. If any bot,
because you've been out here in your Orange County cocoon, you don't know.
It's funny. I guess some people actually believe that, but it's complete nonsense.
Now, Jordan, I go, is the greatest scorer of all time? Yeah, fine. I mean, that's the case because no one can fill it up like he can. But
don't suck up to him.
All around, I got to say my point. You know, but all around is, you know, Magic Johnson is a better player. He had more game. He did everything better. Like we talk now about, oh, LeBron's better than Michael. Why? Because LeBron's a better passer. LeBron's a better rebounder. You know, you got to say the same thing, I think, for Magic Johnson. Okay, Michael's a better scorer, but Magic's a better passer, better rebounder, better floor general. So I think that applies in both cases.
It's interesting, and I do appreciate your point about the unique quality that Magic possessed at 6'9", playing the point, and what an impossible matchup he was, and all that. But, you know, you say he's better in other phases. Magic was not a great scorer. You know, he rarely could take a game over and fill it up.
This is the dumbest. I'd tell you
he
to
wasn't
stop.
Comparable in terms of.
I would tell you to stop. Please don't embarrass yourself.
Let's just do it. I'm going to say Jim Brown is the best 32, even though I never saw him play. I've seen all the highlights, and I can't argue against it that Jim Brown, by all accounts, is the greatest, or by most accounts at least, the greatest football player of all time.
Like you said, because of all those times you'd watch him play.
I never watched him play, but guess what? I didn't see Sandy Koufax play either. You know, you say you wrote about Sandy Koufax. You know who's interesting, kids? Look him up. Look up his numbers. See how comparable they are to the all-time great stretches. Sandy Koufax had that magical, what was it, four-season run
like
there?
4 or 5 years, yeah.
I'll tell you whose numbers stack up favorably with that and any other era you want to point to. Randy Johnson, in the steroid era, mind you, he had a run that is as dominant as any pitcher, including Sandy Koufax's.
Yeah, I mean, guys would just bail out. I mean, you know, he would come in with that motion, and there's two strikes, and guys are backing away. I mean, he's unhittable sometimes. He throws you that one inside fastball early on in the count, and you're like, whoa, because he, you know, he's 11 feet tall, and by the time he throws the ball, it's actually a foot from your face. He would get people, he'd throw that early fastball early on in the count, and then you're a little jittery, you don't know, and it's hard to hit there. It's hard to stay in the box.
I don't think history is going to remember Randy Johnson as one of the five best starting pitchers of all time, but I think if you look at his numbers and the run he had, he's comparable. Now, before we get to actual football, are we in agreement on Jim Brown or no?
What did he average, 7 yards a carry? Yeah, I think I'll go with Jim Brown.
Greatest NFLer. Who wore 32? Easy.
But you're saying Magic is the greatest 32, period. Now you're just being silly. But by the way,
really?
Marcus Allen.
Magic's not a scorer.
Marcus Allen is another 32
So there's three 32s who are better than Franco Harris. Jim Brown, OJ, and Marcus Allen.
Now who's being silly?
No, that's accurate. What about Otis Anderson?
I've tired of you.
There we
now,
go.
Now, let's also, Magic before we get score. To the NFL, you're also a Puck fan, and you grew up a fan of which team there, Jason?
Hartford Whalers were my team.
I like
the Whale.
It was tough when they moved, and I didn't know if I was going to still follow them or not, but the fact that I was already in Los Angeles when they moved, it was easier for me because I had moved from Hartford, I moved from Connecticut, and it was like, okay, I can still follow this team because I'm not going to not go to any games. I'm not going to not do this. So I followed them to Carolina, where most everybody I know just said, I can't root for this team. You know, they left, and now they're, you know, the Hartford.
I'll sign off on your situation. Yeah.
So I was okay. I'm glad I stuck with it. They won the Stanley Cup, and, you know, still a Carolina Hurricanes fan. Never been in the building. Never been to a game. You know, they come out here to L.A. They go to Anaheim. They go to the games every year. But, you know, never been to Carolina to be in the building, but still stuck with them. Still my team.
That's interesting. And you're going to allow that?
For the reason he explained. Yeah, if you're living in Hartford and they move away, then you must make them not just – you can't simply say, I don't know if I'm going to root for them. They have to become your least favorite team in the sport. You must despise them. But his situation is unique, and so it's allowable. I love the all green getups on the
best logo. I mean, I go on like Mitchell and Ness website or find something. I go, there's like 11 hats I want to get and like 12 jerseys because it's just so sharp. I miss that logo.
Look it up online, kids, or maybe, you know what? That's another thing we'll add to the picture gallery for today's podcast. But the Whale logo, people don't realize there's an H in the middle of it there for Hartford Whalers. People miss that point, you know. All right, so.
I missed the M on the Expos hat for, like, I think until I was, like, 25. Mm-hmm. What does EB mean? I don't understand. What's EB? Oh, there's an M, and then that's an E, and then the B for baseball. Oh, Montreal Expos. 25 years old when
it's
I figured
awesome.
That out.
Did
finally.
You get the M and B in the old Brewers logo?
Yes, that
it's a
I
baseball
did.
Mitt. Yeah.
Yeah, the baseball mitt that I got.
And
I
then
just couldn't see it.
The Hartford or the Vancouver Canucks. Actually, I told Barry Melrose, he never realized this. It looks like it's just a hockey stick. It just looks like in a rectangle. Mm-hmm. But in fact, if you look at it, it's a C. The hockey stick turns that shape into a C for Canucks. All right, the producer, Wilk Ty, this week is in my ear saying we have to move on to football. So.
We talked Jim Brown.
That's right.
Franco Harris.
Hey, guess
OJ
what?
Simpson.
Look.
Antonio Cromartie.
I agree. The NFL, eclipses all other sports like the sun. But
speaking of Suns, he's a huge Sons of Anarchy fan.
Let's talk about, since you're an AFC East guy, Jason Smith, let's talk about what happened in Heinz Field last Sunday. This wasn't me just sandbagging. This wasn't me, trying to reverse jinx, as Sporty Simmons likes to call it. I wasn't just saying that I thought the Patriots were going to smoke them. The history showed that the Steelers had no ability to slow down Tom Brady. He would cut them up time and time and time again. And then in Heinz Field, they had the ball for 20 minutes total. Against that defense. How say you?
You know, it's kind of funny, but Tom Brady is very simple to break down now. I don't know if it was the knee injury, but if you have a game where you can cause distractions around him, where you can paw at the football, paw at him, he becomes a different quarterback. He throws the ball, he's inaccurate, he gets rid of it fast. It's not about hitting him, it's not about sacking him, taking him down, but you cause that around him, you cause that chaos around him. Look, the Jets did it in the playoff game last year. You saw the Lions do it in the preseason this year, hit by Ndamukong Suh. I think there's something mentally with Tom Brady where you get that pressure around him and he speeds up his decision making, he throws the football, and that's what the Steelers did. They got after him. Like I said, it's not about knocking him down, it's about just being around him, and he becomes a totally different quarterback. Now, not many teams can do that, but the teams that can do that have success against the Patriots.
I mean, I could not agree with you more. I think that is absolutely right, that the myth that surrounds Tom Brady is, you know, he's certainly one of the era's best quarterbacks, and people would still argue that he is the best. But that's a pretty big flaw to have, that you need to have perfect protection in order to be effective. And just like Peyton Manning, both of those guys, that is their kryptonite. And like I say, it's a pretty sizable deficiency to have, that if you get around them, if you don't let them stand back there and make their choice, that they become absolutely mortal. And we saw it again with the Steelers. I just hope they can figure out how to continue to do that. In the copycat league, the way the Steelers got pressure there, right, Tom Brady is pretty, you know, is pretty fallible. Where do you say, I mean, it's hard to argue now. I declared last year Aaron Rodgers as the best. Give me your top three or four QBs right now.
You can't not go with Aaron Rodgers, just the high level he's playing at.
Now,
is he going to keep this level up? That's the big thing, but you can't go against him right now. I'm going to go with Brady number two still, just because of what he accomplishes, and no matter what kind of weapons that he has around him, whether he uses Danny Woodhead, doesn't use Danny Woodhead. They run the football, they can't run the football. They throw to Wes Welker, they don't throw to Wes Welker. He still finds a way to get it done. I'm going to go him number two. Then you start dropping off because you don't know, is Peyton Manning still going to be great? You know, when he comes back, you know, you have questions about that. I still, even though he's having a horrible season, I'm still a big believer in Phillip Rivers. I think Rivers is one of those rare guys who, no matter who he has around him, he makes those guys better. You know, before he had Vincent Jackson, he was still throwing the football pretty well. I think he's a Hall of Fame type quarterback. I think he's hurt, because I think there's no way he has this kind of year unless that's going on.
To what end, though, would he not acknowledge that? I know in hockey, well, in hockey, you know, they disclose that they, you know, if somebody has a bum knee, they say it's a lower body injury because they don't want the opponent to go after that and prey on that weakness. But I don't think that's the case here.
You're just used to Roethlisberger every Sunday finding out when he's banged up.
Yes.
Hey, somehow information got leaked about Roethlisberger's injury that Mike Tomlin doesn't know anything about. Want to make sure everybody knows Ben Roethlisberger's playing banged up. I got a bad knee. I got a hip. I got a shoulder. He's a John Wayne.
Yes.
You know, he's a John Wayne. He wants people to know, hey, I'm hurt playing. Rivers is not one of those guys. And you know what?
But if you're stinking it up like that, why would you not acknowledge it? Wouldn't you say, listen, I got to tell you, I got a bum elbow.
It doesn't feel like he needs his one to be a target. Maybe it's worse than it is.
You've already angered me with your list. You didn't mention Roethlisberger except to throw a shot at him. How can you possibly say that Phil Rivers is superior to Ben Roethlisberger? Three Super Bowls in 7 years, two victories versus Phil Rivers with zero appearances.
Roethlisberger has a tendency to not play well in big games. I realize if I'm talking about Phillip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers, that's a big deal. But Roethlisberger's got to think of all the big games he's played. He's not played well. And he had a great drive, great end of the Super Bowl against the Arizona Cardinals, not taking that away from him. But he was horrible against the Seattle Seahawks. Looks like he couldn't even grab the football in that game and throw it. He's had some AFC championship games he was bad at. He was bad against the Jets a couple of times. He was bad against the Patriots a couple of times. It's when the stage is set really big, he struggles. And I want to see him do more in big games that count when I want to really anoint him. If he won the Super Bowl last year, if he was able to somehow win that game, then suddenly you can't deny three Super Bowls. But still, here's a guy that's fallen short. He had the horrible turnover that really won the game for the Green Bay Packers, throwing that pick there that got returned for a touchdown. If I've seen him play better in big games, I could put him higher on the list.
Well, I mean, listen, I hear what you say. I don't think he played badly. I think he had a nice game in the title game against the Ravens in the two best defenses that people talk about. It is the hardest hitting game that they've ever seen. In that game, he was pretty good. He was in fact dandy. And the Seattle game, I've said it a million times, I'll say it for the million and first. Fine, he didn't perform well against the Seahawks, but at Indianapolis against the best team in the league that year, he went in there and torched them in the first half. That's how they beat the Colts that year. And then secondly, he went out to Denver and beat another good team to get to the Super Bowl. That was his greatest playoff game. He's stepped up in big games. That's false to suggest that he doesn't deliver when the lights are hottest.
When you out-duel Jake Plummer, you are...
I can't answer for that.
So, and if what's his name's wife hadn't stabbed him that week, he runs that back for a touchdown, and you don't make it to the Super Bowl.
It's so true. It's so true. But you still do have to give credit to Roethlisberger. That's one of the great plays in football.
Oh yeah, Jerome Bettis fumbling. That was perfect.
Boy, I've said it. I got to say this one again too. If that play had been returned, if Nick Harper takes that ball and runs it back for a touchdown, and that's Jerome Bettis's last play in his career. It's the worst ending to any career ever, and I never watch sports again. That's it. I wash my hands of sports. I wouldn't be able to come back from it. I wouldn't be able to.
That's hard. That would be there.
Can you imagine that's the end of his career?
Oh, and that's all you remember about him now. All he's done throughout his career, the bus and all these things, and you remember that play, losing the football,
be worse
going
than
back
Buckner.
For a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still the only play I remember of his.
Well, he always, you know what, he would run for a yard, yard and a half, and do that great dance because a yard and a half was a great run for Jerome Bettis. That's kind of when I think
How
of Jerome Bettis,
both.
That's my vision. He'll run for about a yard and a half, get tackled at second down and eight, second down and nine, and he gets up and he dances and punches his fist in the air, and I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe 3 yards before.
He's the only big back in NFL history to sustain some level of greatness for more than 3 or 4 years. He did it for
Eric
a
Dickerson?
Dozen years. Big back, big bruising
he
back.
He was 6'2".
But he wasn't, but you know what I'm saying. He wasn't a bruiser.
No,
he didn't see contact the way and your...
He's definitely ahead of Christian Okoye and Barry Word and those guys.
Of
Van
course.
Morris.
Yes, even Earl Campbell because of sustained greatness.
Mike
All right.
Allstott.
Now listen, now you've angered me, and now I'm going to show you the door, Jason Smith, because I don't appreciate the things you've said in the last
Wait,
few
where
minutes.
Is Drew Brees on that list for you?
I'm thinking of bruising running of great quarterbacks.
Great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean winning the Super Bowl. Sure. Yeah, Drew Brees is high. He's in the top five on that list. You know, guys, there's not a lot of guys I think that can break through. You know, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco have a little bit too. I thought they'd be there at this point, but they've had their growth has been stunted a little bit. Flacco looks unbeatable some games, and some games he doesn't know where to go with the football. Matt Ryan has trouble in the playoffs, so I thought these guys would break through to that level, but you know they're not there yet.
All right. Well, listen, Jason Smith, a real pleasure to share this time with you and share our time out there on the NFL Fantasy Live program, which, as a matter of fact, as we record it right here, is playing right over your shoulder. It's surreal to be speaking with you as your face is staring at me on the flat screen there. So, all right. Good luck to your Jetropolitans up in Buffalo this weekend, and we'll look forward to yapping again soon.
Thank you. I'm just glad that we went from a guy we deal with every day to a guy we share time with. I'm glad I was able to have that time with
share
you guys
time
today.
With. Share Not, time with. We don't enjoy time with, but yeah, we share no. time with them. Yeah, that's it. I mean, we got to, you know, what are we going to do? No,
yeah,
listen,
see you guys.
Don't When's be there? A stranger. And now look who's coming in. It's theme song a week here, apparently, on the Dave Damashek football program. Dick Banks burning the midnight oil. Because he's cooked up a theme song, not just for Adam Rank, but also for our favorite Englishman. He comes to us all the way from the UK. He joins us each week to read our favorite tweets and so on and so forth. It's Handsome Hank. Hit it, Dick Banks.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Ooh.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I like it.
That
you,
is great.
To me, you're a 007 to me. Right. You cut the same basic figure, you know?
Yeah. Not licensed to kill yet, but,
no, but
hopefully.
But those eyes are lethal.
Wouldn't it be great to have a license to kill? You're like standing over by some cops like, hey, you got a license for this? Yeah, okay, let me see that. What about these corrective lenses?
No, it's cool. I got a license.
What about these corrective lenses? Oh, contacts? Okay.
How are you, Handsome
Very
Hank?
Well,
a pleasure
Dave,
to see you.
Very good, Dave. Thank you.
Well, it's really emerged as one of the listeners' favorite things we do here on the program, and that's when we welcome Handsome Hank in. Like I say, you read tweets for us. You read incendiary remarks that players say in front of big games. This week, a big one. We just finished talking with Jason Smith about the Patriots and Steelers game. Another big one for the Steelers coming into Heinz Field. Then Baltimore birdies, as the late great Myron Cope used to call them. And this one is for nothing less. Well, you know what? I was just about to say this one's for the AFC North. But I have a sneaking suspicion that this might be one of those years where while the Steelers and Ravens cancel each other out, the Bengals end up sneaking in the back door. It could happen.
Absolutely.
You know what, though? In fantasy football, I just made a trade even. I traded Tony Romo. I can't take him on my team anymore. I washed my hands of him and got Matt Ryan and Cedric Benson. What do you think of that deal?
It's okay. You got rid of Tony Romo. I'm afraid that Tony Romo might not make it through the season.
Stop saying that. You sound silly.
Why is that wrong?
Because Stephen McGee is not going to take over at quarterback.
We'll see.
All right, I guess.
Hear me now, believe me later.
Oh, look who's stealing. As you like to say. Yeah, look who's stealing that.
Oh, I didn't see that on a tweet.
Creep. All right, so, Handsome Hank. Hey, the Shame Report did well this week.
Did.
Huh?
Well done you.
Yes.
It wasn't me.
No, we did great. Listen.
Hey, some Englishman dropped me a line and he said, hey, watch the Shame Report. It's well good. Oh, no, well funny. I thought that was terrific. I've never been called well funny before. It was well funny. Say it like they would say it.
It's well funny.
It's well funny.
That's not how an English person would say it. I just said it. It's well funny.
It's well funny.
Are you sure you're
English?
It's
well funny. Isn't it more Irish when they say that?
No.
Like, it's well funny.
What is that?
What was that?
I don't know.
Wait. Hank is English, though, right?
Because yeah, I can do it better than you.
I don't agree. I thought going in, I would have agreed with you, but he's proven otherwise, and so have I. You're well wrong. I'm sorry, Adam. You're well wrong. All right. So, Handsome Hank, Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no love lost there. Hey, you're an Englishman, so you should be more literate than Rank and I are. What does that mean? What is the origin of that weird cliche? There's no love lost.
I don't know what the origin. I mean, it makes sense to me, but
I know what I know.
Now that
I know
think
what
about
it,
I have no idea what why.
Yeah, it doesn't literally.
There's
it's,
no
it's,
love lost.
What it is sarcastic.
Yeah.
But it's weird that a cliche would involve sarcasm. Yeah. There's no love lost between these two teams, which implies that they once loved each other, but they never loved each other, and now they continue not to love each. I don't get it.
What teams like each other? they're like, oh well, these teams are great friends.
Who I think likes each other: the Steelers and Ravens. I think we would like to think that they hate one another, but there's something cheeky in their remarks.
There's
they
a grudging respect between them.
I think so. To wit, why don't you read us some of the remarks that they've been exchanging?
So Terrell Suggs, as usual, has been starting things up pretty well. He says that there's the Super Bowl, and then there is Ravens Steelers. Everybody will be watching this game. And then he goes on to say, we've been declared war upon. We're the enemy of the state. Heinz Field is my Madison Square Garden. I love playing in this stadium. We're going on the road in probably the toughest stadium to play in the NFL. We're expecting a physical football game. This is football. I'm guaranteeing the NFL, no, the world will stop for this game. And everybody wants to see it. We will be ready.
Wow, that seems like he's almost exaggerating it. I think there's definitely a percentage of football fans that don't like this game. I think they think it gets too much hype because everybody swoons. You know, on Sunday night, it'll be Michaels and Collinsworth swooning over. This is my favorite game of the year. You know, this one might be 7-3 final kind of thing. I think some people are conditioned. I bet you somebody like Rank, who grew up in sunny Southern California, can't relate to a game like this.
But wait, there's so few good rivalries. Why? How could you?
Because
not
they
like
don't
this?
Like. Because they think. Because they look down their nose at defensive football. They don't find it entertaining. True.
Thank
or
you.
False,
yes.
Rank?
Right. Nailed it. Right.
Is
on
that
the
true?
Head. Yeah.
Wait, I told you. That's
wait,
this is the way they think.
It's the 5 o'clock game, right?
It's the 8 o'clock game on the East Coast and the five. Okay, well, yes, it's the prime time.
Where
game.
Are we?
I'm just telling you, it's the prime time game. I'm
okay,
just making sure we're clear.
Okay, I didn't know there's multiple 5 o'clock games, but all right. But it's one of those ones where this one will probably keep me from watching Dexter a little too early. I'll probably stick around and watch it through its
all
completion.
Right. You're ridiculous.
And no, so, what's this nonsense that we don't like rivalries like the Rams? 49ers. Now that was a rivalry.
I didn't say you don't like rivalries. I just said that you don't appreciate those kind of, you don't like defensive struggles.
I just don't, there's really
you're Showtime. See, he's the Showtime Lakers
what?
Guy.
To be honest, though, where's the star power in this game? Like, I get Brady versus Manning. Like, that's a great game. Rodgers going up against another good, it's Roethlisberger, Flacco. You got to watch that. Hey, if you're missing this game, you're missing out on
the
next
exhibition.
It's not always about
football.
Quarterbacks, though. That's the thing.
That's
the
where
exciting
you're wrong.
Thing.
Well, listen.
It needn't always be about a quarterback.
The Steelers, as a team, as you know, by design, transcend an individual, generally speaking, although Roethlisberger's making a play to be, you know, clearly the breakout star of that team. But that defense is still where it's at, and in spite of not having – that's going to be their problem, of course. See, Woodley and Harrison, we don't know what the score is going to be with the, with those two guys, whether either of them – I think Woodley is just about certainly out of the game. Harrison rumored to maybe be getting out on the field. But, Handsome, what else what were some of the other fun ones? Oh, and by the way, you want to talk about a star that nobody really talks too much about? Roethlisberger's favorite target, Mike Wallace. He's about as good a receiver as there is in the
league these days. Mike Wallace is fantastic, but it's one of those things because the Steelers – are so good that they should be hated, like the way the Yankees are hated, the way the Red Sox, the Lakers, and teams like that are hated.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, everybody's just kind of like,
no, no, they're not apathetic. I'll go so far as to say, and people accuse me again of being biased, but point out to me where I'm wrong. They're the most popular. They're the least hated, at least. They're the least hated dynasty of our lifetime
in any
sport.
That's not good.
Who hates the Steelers?
Nobody cares. That's the problem. I'd rather be hated than have people be ambivalent.
You are really just holed up in Orange County. You know
what does that have to do with anything?
I don't think many people are ambivalent about the Steelers. I think they have a
feeling. So you think everybody loves them?
I think more people.
You're saying nobody hates them, so you're saying everybody loves
dynasties, among dynasty teams, those teams that tend to cast a big shadow year after year, whether they're really like the Cowboys fit that description. Obviously, they haven't been to a Super Bowl in forever, but they still cast a big shadow. Among all those teams, all those iconic teams in sports, I would say the percentage of people who hate them is about as small as you could possibly get. That's my.
And I think the Packers probably might be ahead of
that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like they fell out of irrelevance, though, for 30 years. And so. But
like people like the Packers.
Listen, I like them, too. I think they, Aaron Rodgers on down. I think they all are good. What are some more of these?
So talking about Mike Wallace, Ladarius Webb had a little pop at him. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Every time somebody asks me a question, they're always talking about Mike Wallace. But they have a guy, number 84, in Antonio Brown, who's better than Wallace in all aspects of the game. He's a great returner, a great receiver. So Wallace heard this, and he's complimented one of his teammates, but that doesn't matter to Mike Wallace. That guy don't really matter to me, man. Who is that guy? I mean, I heard of him, but at the end of the day, he can't check me, so it is what it is. That's got to be somebody who really matters to motivate me. He really don't.
Is he talking about Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
It's like, who is that guy? Your teammate, Antonio Brown.
Well, Mike Wallace showing off his Temple education there. And I like it. See, that's good.
Does it sound better?
You know what? For the first time, actually, I think it does sound better, Handsome Hank. You've actually made that one seem a little bit better. That's what Handsome does. He frames it in the best possible light, and I like that one very much. So what's your pick for that one there, Handsome?
I'm going to go Ravens.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think they're going to bounce back. They were horrible for three quarters against the Cardinals.
Two straight weeks, in fact, they were terrible. Yep. They were awful against the Jags as well.
But they picked it up.
I say it all the time. The Ravens are, you know, again, you talk about great rivalries. The Ravens never beat the Steelers when the two teams are on about equal terms. Mm-hmm. They never beat the Steelers in big games. They never do. And week one of the 2011 season does not count as a big game.
Is this a big game?
It is. I feel like the division sort of, I don't want to say hangs in the balance again, because the Bengals are in the mix this year. But yeah, the Steelers can't win the division if they lose this game. So they have to be desperate for this one. But, you know, the Ravens regard the Steelers rightly because they can't get over them. They are Ahab to the Steelers, Moby Dick. I say it all the time. And in fact, the week after they play the Steelers, they always come out flat because they're so fixated on that Steeler game that the following week, win or lose, and they always...
And maybe that's why they played bad the last 2 weeks, because they could see this one on the horizon.
It could be. And your Dolphins...
they play the Chiefs. They will lose.
All right. Very good. Very good. And you're excited that you're halfway home to Andrew Luck?
Yep, we're nearly there.
Yeah. And what about these rumors about Bill Cowher?
Or the trade for Peyton Manning. the rumors about Bill Cowher. Jimmy Johnson turned up there with the same kind of pedigree as Bill Cowher, and it didn't work out. And
it's not a great destination, is it?
It's a great place to go retire.
Actually, and Jimmy was more connected to NFL, to the NFL coaching, when he went to Miami, as opposed to Cowher, who's been away for, 5 years?
That's not the guy I would like to see there.
Is that right? What would you like, a Gruden type?
I'd like a Gruden or maybe even Jeff Fisher. Not a as big a name, but I think probably still kind of hungry.
I hear you, what you're saying. It is interesting that it is a place to go retire, and whereas the Arizona Cardinals, Kurt Warner notwithstanding, a lot of guys ended their career there. Emmitt Smith, Boomer Esiason.
Well, the same things happened in Miami. I mean, you've got Thurman Thomas and Chris Carter came there and basically just kind of, you know, died on the side.
Well, it does seem, though, like the coaches go there and they can't rebound. Yeah. These legendary guys, Johnson, Parcells didn't really thrive down there.
Tony Sperano.
Yeah, Tony Sperano.
Well,
yeah.
Don Shula did pretty well as a second stinner in Miami.
And that's true. I think of him, yeah, I guess he, yeah, I don't think of him as a, you don't show me up. Take this. Ow! Don't show me up. Your point may be valid, but you don't do that to me on this show, if you hear what I'm saying.
That hurts so much.
That's right, the Hansel Edition Blaster. Let it be a warning shot to you, Handsome Hank, not to sass me and give me credit when I do a better English impression than you do.
Next time I will. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, you'll be well sorry. If you don't, you're going to be well sorry. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff, Handsome
That's
Hank.
That's fantastic. Thank
Show
you,
yourself
Hank.
The
That's
door.
Great.
All right.
All right, I'm out of here.
All the best. Thank you. There he goes, Handsome Hank. Let's. You know what? Let's hear his theme Play song one last time.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Oh, that's good. I like that quite a bit. All right, listen, Rank, what do you say we get into the DeLorean here?
Ooh.
Take it up to 88 miles an hour. Jump to next Tuesday and see who wins. A number of juicy games on the slate.
To the future.
This is what makes time travel possible. The flux capacitor. In the future.
I think it's about time we cut that part out. All right, so first of all, I dropped you off in Buffalo, and how'd that one come out?
You know, I got to be honest, two back-to-back weeks going to Toronto, going to Buffalo, seeing those great uniforms. Buffalo was a treat. This was a game in the AFC East that a lot of people said could determine that extra playoff spot. The Jets couldn't really afford to fall behind here. They came out, they took care of business, won 17-13. Closer game, they clamped down on Stevie Johnson. Fred Jackson, not as good as we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I feel like the Jets were kind of up against it. They had to have this one if they have any legitimate shot at making the playoffs.
And I went down to Dallas after that. The Cowboys, looking to rebound after a disastrous stint in Philadelphia, got healthy here against the Seahawks. Tony Romo actually looked like an NFL quarterback for a change. They beat the Seahawks 24-13. Cowboys back in it, but I still don't trust them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't think they're in it for the long haul.
And now one of the surprise teams in the NFL, and maybe, you know, in the last couple of years, the 49ers are playing really well. Look like the second best team in football right now, just behind the Packers. But, wow, they had a really bit of a tough time here against the Redskins. The Redskins' defense is tougher than people are giving them credit for. The 49ers were able to sneak out a tight win here, 19-17. 49ers, though, still looking good to wrap up the number two spot in the NFC.
Kind of following that script. Most of their games are pretty tight affairs.
Absolutely. And then I went out to Oakland. Thanks for that, by the way. Went out to Oakland to see the Raiders and Tim Tebow. And what the Raiders were coming out here doing, they were very conservative, not throwing a lot of balls early in the game, trying to get Carson Palmer back into the flow, getting back into being a quarterback. And obviously they got a couple of good defensive touchdowns because Tim Tebow not only scores fantasy points for himself, but he also scores them for opposing defenses. Raiders win this one 30-20. Raiders in the driver's seat in the AFC West.
Yeah, how about that? Meantime, I went to Foxborough. The Patriots licking their wounds after their visit to Heinz Field last week. They get back on track. A tough game, though. Tom Brady does not like pressure. That Giants four-man front did get pressure on him, but they did pull it out in a shootout. 34-27 there. Next, I went down to San Diego. This ain't jive now. The Chargers are in legitimate trouble. Packers, best team in football, go in there, take care of business. 31-17. whispers now becoming louder and louder about whether or not Phil Rivers is in good health. Then I went to Heinz Field for the, I guess, the signature matchup of the week, right? Great rivalry game, as they like to say. Baltimore and Pittsburgh trying to fight it out for the AFC North. The Steelers get it done, 21-17. They don't do a great job of taking away Ray Rice, but Roethlisberger, just enough to get him over the hump, as he usually does when he plays those Ravens, especially in Heinz Field. 21-17, the Steelers take it, and then we crossed over the Keystone State to Philadelphia, as you can see here, Rank, and I hope Balboa will inspire you. Hit the steps like he did, you know? Some raw eggs in the morning.
Chase some
the
chickens steps. Around, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you'll feel better for it, you know? You'll be better. You'll be a better man for it. But in that game, you had the Bears roll into town. I told you, Rank, I told you, everybody, 3 weeks ago, the Eagles are about to get hot. They're proving me right. 31-13, they dumped the Bears.
And I think what you see in a lot of these instances, the desperate team, the team that needs to win, ended up winning. You mentioned the Steelers. The Jets were another team. And the Eagles are still in that class of a team that needs to win after that disastrous start. They got it done, and they look pretty good.
Well, you know, like they say, eat less, do more. Well, you're going to have to do morer to burn off all those cheesesteaks you've already consumed there. So I'm going to let you hit the steps. I'm going to jump in the DeLorean and head back to what is now the past, and you can find your own way back. I think the run will do you some good. All right, good times there, Rank. Nice trip. Nice trip.
Absolutely great.
All right, before we wrap it up here, we just brought him into the back here into the studio. We last week announced your replacement, at least for the time being. It's now our new producer is Black Tie, and but Wilk Tie, you what are you going to be doing? Why can't you work with us anymore? What happened?
I'm not really sure. I was given some vague excuses.
Did you ask to be taken off the show?
I didn't.
Don't jive me.
I didn't. I swear.
We asked for him to be taken off the show.
What?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
What are you guys whispering about?
I don't know. You know what? I feel compelled because we're wrapping the show up here. I got to get it in here because I'm trailing by three. Dieter Brock.
Oh, yes.
I don't think that one can count, though, because it's got to be organic. That was the ground rule that I said. Was it you? Rank and I, if you're listening for the first time, we have an ongoing competition to see who can mention Dieter Brock first on the podcast. But I did say you have to integrate it.
I'm pretty sure that was the definition of not organic.
No.
I do appreciate that you tried to rally back, because I thought last week asking Jack Youngblood a question about Dieter Brock was about as boss as you could get.
Yeah, that was not bad, but you know, yeah, I'm trying to work my way into it now, but I don't have time. We mentioned Marcus Allen wore number 32. His brother Damon was in the CFL, where Dieter Brock was a star. That's semi-organic,
there we
right?
Go.
Either way, I get the point. I'm taking the point. Well, I think our total is now 11 for Rank, 9 for Damashek, and
we have a listener
12,
who's keeping good
yes,
track.
Yes, and 12 omissions. So I think that's yes. where we stand right now. So, Wilk Tie, this may be your last time sitting in with us for a little while, but you're welcome back anytime. But tell us about what happened at the Coliseum last Saturday night when your USC Trojans fell.
Were you there?
I was not. I planned on going, and at the last minute, I decided that it wasn't worth the effort of trying to find tickets last minute.
And, so you're no fan.
Excuse me. I am, too, a fan. I've watched every single game.
There's only 90,000 seats in that building, so tickets were scarce.
That was a sellout, wasn't it? I assume it was a sellout.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so?
What do you think, Wilk Tie?
That was the best football game I think I've ever seen through the first two overtimes. And then that third overtime, I slowly just descended into a depression.
Are you like the NCAA? You don't recognize your previous wins with Leinart and Bush and all those guys?
That was great, but I wasn't at that time a USC person. Like, I was just a football fan who watched that game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an alumni, watching that triple overtime thing where we were just so close.
Are we that far removed from that era of USC football that you've You've gone through school and graduated?
Yeah, that
you
was
did
what?
Your 6 years at USC?
No, that was 06.
06? Well, I went to school in 07.
How long were you in school for?
4 years.
What the hell is that all
You're
about?
You're old, Rank.
No, but I mean, when I went to Cal State Fullerton, it took like 7 years.
That's not the usual,
no,
like
that's
the
not.
Time people spend.
Are you serious?
Matriculating.
You
yeah,
couldn't
no.
even get a class, and it wasn't like I was failing, but it's like, oh, you got 9 units this semester.
Yeah, a couple of those Wisconsin running backs maybe did like 9 or 10 years, it seemed like. And Brian Cardinal was at Purdue, it seemed like, playing basketball for a decade. God. But for the most part, Cherokee Parks is another guy. Anyway, so a couple things. First of all, the greatest college football games I've ever seen are, one, I should make a proper list out of this, mm-hmm. but the best one, Orange Bowl 84, Turner Gill, Irving Fryer, Mike Rozier against Bernie Kosar and the Canes, I think is the greatest game I've ever seen. And if that wasn't it, people always talk about USC-Texas, and USC-Fresno was also a good game that season in 06. But the greatest of them all was when they paid a visit to Notre Dame to play the Irish. Every touchdown is dynamite in that game. That's the best game I've ever seen.
The Bush-Push one?
Yes. What I love about—
That was a great game. I did watch that game. It was an amazing game.
What stood out to me about the Stanford game, the Stanford-SC game, was I loved Andrew Luck. When they got inside the five, when they lined up, no one flanked out, three tight ends all stacked in there. It looked like football must have looked a century ago, just all stacked up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you figure, well, they're going to go play action here and throw it. Nope, they handed the ball off to the back, and he went straight up the middle. Awesome. I thought that was gangbusters. And the other thing that stood out to me, I know Theismann is – Phil Sims, I'm sorry. Phil Sims said that he doesn't think Andrew Luck's going to be that great a pro. Or thinks he's overrated. I think Luck will be great. But the other thing is, everybody is so fixated on this suck for Luck stuff and who's going to get Luck. This is going to be one of those all-time QB drafts. I think the first round of the 2012 NFL draft is going to be filled with the quarterbacks. We're shaping up to have one of the all-time drafts there. Maybe you could do a pick six out of that, right?
That would be a good one. Yeah. If I could mention those guys on NFL.com.
But, oh, yeah, you're not supposed
You know what
to,
I thought, though, is when—
underclassmen. Right.
When Andrew Luck threw the interception, I said, you know what? He would be perfect for the Colts.
Yeah, I said I thought the exact same thing went through my head when he picked that off. I thought, what a perfect guy to be mentored by Peyton Manning. When the lights are hottest, throw the pick six to give up the game. But no, listen, to his credit, how about bouncing back and driving him right back down the field? Fantastic.
You actually rallied the team.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He would not be a good Colt.
No, indeed. All right, well, listen, Wilk Ty, happy trails to you and for everybody else within the sound of my voice. We'll be back between weeks 9 and 10. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a fun season.